You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Issues in the transgender community have grown increasingly visible in recent years, from growing representation in pop culture to controversy over so-called bathroom bills and discrimination. Transgender issues are now a regular part of the conversation for a lot of Americans. In her new book, our next guest talks about her own experience as a transgender woman and what it's been like to live through that experience. Carla Ernst is a Wisconsin-based writer, author, and motivational speaker. Her new book is called Life Without Pockets, My Long Journey into Womanhood. She joins us in the studio. Carla, thanks a lot for coming up.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me here to Central Time. I'm just honored to be with a host that can say Fish Fry Fridays so clearly.
It's part of the job in Wisconsin.
I hope they pay you big bucks for those three words.
My boss is right here, so thank you.
Double his salary. That'd be great.
You tackle a lot in this book. This is your story, but also kind of a frequently asked questions for people on transgender issues. Why did you try to tackle all of this?
Interesting question. The FAQs, I think, is what started the book for me, because you get a lot of questions when people recognize that's what you are. And I think it started many years ago when you get these questions over and over again. So I said, you know what, let me put this all in one book, because there's so many questions from so many different perspectives. The time you grow up and the era, the geography, social, how society views it, everything, politics. So I think by putting it all in one book, it kind of got my story out, and with a real specific purpose to help people understand, not just transgender people, but I think more importantly, friends and family of those people they love, to better understand that, to maybe lead to a better sense of acceptance, because that's usually the challenge. It's usually not so much the gender identity itself, it's people in society trying to understand what it's all about.
And one, there's a lot of common themes in the book that I see. You tell your story, but you make it really clear your story is not the story of every person who's transgender. There may be common elements, but they're all unique and individual stories in a lot of ways.
No, we're all exactly identical. All stories are totally identical. I think obviously there's common themes. Even in writing a book, that's quite an undertaking. It took me about 4 years to write it. And I think when you look into it, research it, what else has been written on the topic, You look at that, then you put it away and say, okay, what is my story? What's unique? What's special about it? And essentially with the goal of letting people know about it and how you might be able to help them. So my story really was, as the book says, was growing up in the era I grew up in. Originally was raised in Chicago, a very large, happy Catholic family. Yet you have this inner secret, this sort of bizarre thing. You don't know how to articulate it because you don't know what it is. There was no resources, pre-internet. What could this be? Why am I different? But yet you keep pushing it away, saying, well, it'll go away someday. But of course, it doesn't. And so that's what leads to not just the journey, but in this understanding of what that's all about. And I tell people, I never feel the common word you hear is going through transition. In my case, I did not go through a transition, just a realization of who I was since birth. So this was not a surprise. It just took a while to get there. But that's who I am and what happened to me.
And somebody watching you in your life now, one reaction somebody might say, well, you're now pretending to be someone that you're not. And your experience was you spent the first chunk of your life trying to pretend you were somebody you're not. Now you're who you are.
Correct. And I think it's an interesting reverse paradigm because you do go through that. I think what happened, at least in my case, was you have this inner deep secret and you finally become whom you are, yet you have to, I chose to retroactively tell everybody I've met. And by going backwards, your people don't believe you. I say, oh, by the way, something a little bit different about me, you may not know, is I'm a woman. So first they don't believe that. And then until they meet me. And then people I know today, they simply don't know. I mean, as far as I know, that if I tell them I once had the body of a male, they too don't believe me. So we have this reverse argument that crosses somewhere. It's a bizarre comment to try to convince people opposite information, but that's been my experience.
People talk about it sometimes as a choice. Did this ever feel like a choice to you?
Not for a second. And I think that's what started the book. The book started out actually as a comment I got, as I say, a large Catholic family, the oldest, I would say smartest of seven. If any of them are listening, they might disagree and call in. But the youngest of the seven had actually, years and years ago, had raised that whole question, said he could not condone the decision I made. And I think that one comment got me to think and actually started writing an email back saying, let me try to explain what this is. At least in my case, it's hardly a decision. You are what you are, your authentic self. And so in writing the email got kind of long, turned into a 250-page book, and took 4 years to get the email out. But of course, it never went out, and I never sent that. But it really leads to so many different aspects of it that made it become a book and very, very comprehensive. So the choice issue, for my case, certainly not. And I think generally anybody who's going through any of these kinds of similar transitions in any of that broader community, I've never heard anybody say this is a choice.
Talking to Carla Ernst, her new book is Life Without Pockets, My Long Journey into Womanhood. But let's talk about the urgency of some of these issues. Statistically, transgender people more likely to commit suicide, often likely to be victims of hate crimes. And you write about your own experience with suicidal ideation, of being targeted for an assault because people identified you, they thought, as different. I don't know if they thought transgender in particular. Can you talk about the urgency of talking about these issues?
Well, I think in the issues, I have to step back and count my blessings. I've been very lucky. I have many people I know or friends and people I read about who have been less lucky. They've been ostracized, injured, and even killed. In my specific situations, I think the highlights of my lowlights, certainly I was mugged twice in Milwaukee for being transgender. Came out later. One went to court for many years and cracked my skull and left me bleeding on the pavement. They also took everything I owned, which was sort of sad, but I always put this under the dumb criminal area because they took my Mac and it went up to the satellite and back, said, here's where we are, come get us, and they arrested them. But the other one was a similar one, but I think the other one that was interesting to me that in central Wisconsin, unrelated to central time, a group who I knew from childhood realized who I was from childhood. And they took issue, and they took me back to the back room and evangelized me big time. And after a couple hours of that, said that horrible things would happen to me. And they said, and they happened to sell, apart from gas, liquor, and ammunition, that they indeed would have me, quote, accommodated. They would kill me. And that's still out there. The target is actually real, and I know they would simply kill me. So that's a scary thing, and I don't get my ammunition there, but it's been pretty serious stuff. So I feel I'm okay. Most of my family's been very accepting. Friends have always been very accepting. Also, we're in a different era, too, with a post kind of Caitlin era, the way the world looks at it today. It's very, very different. So I've been very lucky.
Yeah, talk about, you were talking earlier about when you were a kid and you had this different secret and you didn't know what to make of it. When you first started to meet people or hear about people in the public and say, oh, wait, that they're going through something like me.
Well, I think early readings, you know, I'd sneak off to reference sections of my local public library and reading medical text, say, OMG, this is what this is about. This is me. And it's, you know, the Renee Richards of the world way back then until later in college. I was a music major part of my career. And Wendy Carlos, Virginia Walter Carlos, read these stories. Oh, my God, that's exactly who I am. So I think that's very compelling to realize you're not alone.
As you look at pop culture now, I mean, in the era you're talking about, and when I was a kid, if transgender issues came up or cross-dressing issues came up in pop culture, at best it was played for laughs, at worst as kind of a freaky, weird thing. Do you feel like pop culture is doing better now?
Media handles it much more thoroughly, much more comprehensive, and much more sophisticated, going away from sort of the Jerry Springer era of some bizarre thing to the Katie Couric's have handled some very effective documentaries on National Geographic and others. So media, very, very different.
Have you, the book is not out yet. There's been some advanced copies out, though, and I know, what kind of reaction have you gotten from people who've gotten a sneak peek at the book?
Well, first of all, the book is out. We're all fine books.
Oh, it is now, okay.
Oh, yeah, we're all fine books, and not just good books are sold. There it is. So, in fact, I'm speaking tomorrow night at a bookstore in, here in Madison. Reactions vary. Very interesting response. One group of people tends to be parents of gender identity struggling kids, and they are looking at me for advice. And I refer to them on my website because there's so many challenges with that, and I'm not a doctor. But the challenges, I'm finding the questions about that. The other theme are people are saying this is way beyond transgender. It's about treating people with dignity and respect regardless of what group they're from.
And you talk about that. Toward the end of the book, you have a lot of questions that are often asked of you, and I think of a lot of transgender people that, you know, people are curious, but some of these questions cross that line in terms of treating people with dignity. What kind of questions don't you necessarily want to hear?
I guess the chapter heading is indicative. It's called Don't Ask. I picked 10 questions that people really have asked me. And I think the first one I say, people at fancy cocktail parties in New York would say, well, how do you have sex? So I said, how do you have sex? And so I think they say, well, that's not appropriate. Well, it's no more appropriate with me or anybody else. But the questions are unbelievably hysterical sometimes, but across the board and inappropriate.
So that said, people can be curious in a positive way. What kind of conversations are you hoping your book starts?
Well, I think it really gets to be around treating people with dignity and respect. And as you've seen in the book, it took quite a turn. A couple years into writing the book, I sadly lost a friend of mine who had a very talented school teacher in the school system, and she was ostracized by the administration and teachers. And after 10 years of that, it just got to her, and she sadly took her own life for being transgender, and there's a 42% incident of suicide among transgender people compared to the 3 or 4% in society. And that hit me really hard. She was a lovely, wonderful girl, and in that time, I made the decision to dedicate the book to her, but more importantly, to help if it prevents one life from being taken as a result of bullying, then this book's a success.
Can you leave us with some advice for maybe somebody out there listening there where you were when you were a kid? I'm different. I don't know what to do with this.
Well, Rob, I recommend don't change your gender. It's really hard. I think you do the guy thing so well.
Thank you.
That helps.
I'll stick with it.
Little cautionary tale there. But advice, I think, is be yourself. I think feel lucky in a world, particularly millennials today. It's so interesting when I speak to those groups. They think, well, why is there an issue with any kind of marginalized group? So I think you're seeing a whole different population. Think about it very differently, much more open, accepting, and understanding.
We'll leave it there. Carla, thanks a lot for coming up to the studio today.
Thank you, Rob.
That was Carla Ernst, a Wisconsin-based author, with us to talk about her new book, Life Without Pockets, My Long Journey into Womanhood. If you want to hear more about Carla and her book, as she mentioned, she'll be talking about it tomorrow evening at a Room of One's Own bookstore in Madison that starts at 6 o'clock.